What a mighty name. Praise the Lord. Where we're winding down this year, we're winding down this series, which will take us through the year. We're in the book of Ephesians, blessed and highly favored. Today I want to talk about dads and their kids. Why dads, you might ask? Well, we'll see in a moment. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. This is always a difficult subject because I have many failures myself, but I'm going to, and it's not just talking about little children. We're all children. Everyone in here is a child of somebody. And so it applies to all ages and all people. And it certainly applies to us today. It used to be a program on television, I don't know if it's in the 50s or 60s, called Art Linkletter, Kids Say the Darndest Things. And he would interview little children and talk real seriously with them, and they would give a serious answer. Have you ever noticed this? When kids try to be funny, they're silly, and they're not funny. But when kids are serious, they're hilarious. It's really, really strange. I was reading something at Reader's Digest, and they were giving some funny things that children do and say, and they're not trying to be funny. It's just what comes out. And this first one was a little girl that was like 7 or 8, and she had a little four-year-old sister. Four-year-old sister wanted a cat. And the oldest girl was telling her little sister, said, "No, we don't need a cat because mama's allergic to cats. It makes her sneeze and her eyes run, and so we don't need a cat." And the little girl said, "When mama dies, I'm going to get a cat." So a lot of times they'll say things right off the top of their head. One little three-year-old was playing a board game with her parents, and she said, I was explaining to her that the 3+ on the box means it's for three-year-olds, you know, and up, and could play that game. She looked at the next game we played, and it had 6 and up, and she said, I can't play this game. She didn't think it qualified for her. Five-year-old grandson got some new shoes, and his grandmother was over at the house, said, did you just get some brand new shoes? He said, yes, ma'am. She said, you like them? He said, I love them. She said, well, go get them on. I want to see them. He said, yeah, but I can't walk very fast with them. So he come out there, and he was walking like this because the shoelaces were still tied together like they were in the box. Didn't know any better. One said, my 9-year-old begged for weeks for me and her to bake a cake together. And so I finally got all the ingredients together, and we started. After about 2 minutes, she left and went to watch TV, and it left me to bake the cake. That happens. One 7-year-old said, Dad, why don't you grow a beard? He said, honey, your mom would not like it if I grew a beard. She said, oh, is it because she can't grow one herself? She would be jealous. I yelled at my child because her shoes and toys were on the floor. She said, it's not my fault. They're always on the floor. My little 3-year-old daughter wanted some pancakes for breakfast. I made pancakes. And as I was, you know, I put a stack of them over on the table, and I yelled over there to her, how's those pancakes? And she had them rubbing her face, said, they're nice and soft. So anyway, got in the car and told my 6-year-old that we were going to a surprise birthday party. She said, is it for me? She said, no, it's not your birthday. She said, I know, I would be surprised if it was. One woman said her child, they can't see their backpack, they can't see the toys, they can't see, they can't find their shoes, they can't find this, they can't find that, but she can spot a sliver of an onion in a casserole from 10 feet away, and she's not going to eat that. Children are something special. Children begin by loving and depending solely on their parents. And then they go through a period where they question and judge their parents. And then hopefully they come back to a place where they're understanding and appreciative of their parents. Listen to these disturbing statistics. 1 out of 5 parents fit the description of a bad parent. Is it physical, emotional abuse, or neglect? 1 out of 5 parents regret having kids. 60% of teenagers have apps on their phone that their parents know nothing about. Babies whose parents talk to them frequently from birth on up to the age of 2, when they get to be around 2, they will know 300 more words than babies whose parents do not talk to them on those early years. We're going to talk today about the relationship between parents and children. So let's look at it. The children's role toward parents. He's going to address the children first. Obedience is required. Look at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Do you notice something unique about that verse right there? It's like Paul is speaking specifically to children at the church at Ephesus. He's not saying, parents, tell your children they need to obey. He says, no, children, listen to me. Obey your parents. Apparently, they would read these letters in the church when the letter came. Now, of course, the children didn't understand the deep spiritual truths that Paul was trying to get across, but they understood. He was talking to them specifically and say, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, children always ask us a lot of times when they're growing up, why do I have to do this? You'll say, do this, do that, and they'll say, why or why not or whatever. And sometimes you explain it. Sometimes you say, because I said so. And you don't have to explain things because you don't want a child that's fixing to run out in the street in front of a car when you say stop to want you to explain it to them. You want them to do exactly what you say when you say it for their own protection. Parents brought children into the world. They know more about life than children do, and they have much more wisdom. Now, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Some people believe that means if your parents are not Christians, you don't have to obey them. That's not true. You obey them not because they're Christian, but because they're your parents. And it's just the thing that God requires of us. So I'm going to talk about, going to do a little different today. I'm going to list a lot of different things with some scriptures with most of them to tell you what it means to obey your parents to start off with. So obedience is right. Why do we obey our parents? All right, let's look at the first one. Because it pleases God. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. I don't know about you. I want to please God, don't you? There's a few times that the Lord spoke out of heaven concerning His Son Jesus, said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well-pleased. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you don't obey your parents, you can't be pleasing to God. So you do that because one thing, it pleases God. Another thing is because it's how you learn. Look at Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. When I say foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, somebody said it like this. Children coming into this world believe they are center of the world's attention. And some people never grow out of that. But most we try to get them to grow out of that. Somebody said it this way. Have your children ever thanked you for getting up in the middle of the night to feed them? Have your children ever thanked you for changing their diapers? Have your children ever thanked you for doctoring them in the middle of the night? And on. Well, the answer is probably no, but we don't do it for their thanks. We do it because we love them. But children are really self-centered. The Bible, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, because that's the way they come into this world. According to the Bible, we're all born in sin. I have a selfish nature, and it's very difficult. So children look for their parents for wisdom, for guidance. One of the things that's sad today that's changed a lot in the last 5 or 10 years, because of social media and technology, children don't listen as much to their parents. They get all their information off of social media. And you know something else that's just as sad or even sadder? Parents have to go to the children to learn how to use social media. Instead of them coming to us, how do I do this? We have to go to them. How do I do this? It's almost like everything's reversed a little bit. But that's how children learn. They have to learn it from their parents. That's the way God intended it to be. Number three, because it reveals your love when you obey your parents. Look at John chapter 14. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." It's a sign of love if you obey. "And my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." So obeying your parents is a way you're showing your love to them. It's a way you do that. You don't obey your parents because they're perfect. There are no perfect parents. You don't obey them because they're always right. They're not always right. But you obey them because it's the way you show love and you're being obedient to God. Because child training is brief. Here's another reason that you obey your parents. Because you just have a short, small window to learn from them. Child training is very brief. Let me just say this. Parents, the character traits that you're going to pass on to your children, you've got the first 5 years for most of them. From birth to 5 years of age is when the brain develops more in that period of time than any other time. And the first 10 years of their life, if you haven't instilled godly traits in them, even if they become a Christian, they're going to struggle with these things. Let me just give you some traits that you've got to instill into them before they get the age of 10. Respect for authority, honesty, gratitude, perseverance, the willingness to get up and keep going and not give up, courage, compassion. They're going to be kind and gentle towards others. Generosity. Are your children going to be giving kids, or are they going to be selfish, greedy, stingy kids? Humility. All these different values get instilled in a child before they're 10 years of age. Now, I'm not saying you can't change and evolve over time and the Lord can't do a work in your life, but even Christians that didn't have these things instilled in their life, they're going to struggle when they become adults because it's going to get stuff that was not ingrained in them at the proper time. So anyway, much of your success and failure in life will depend on how well you obey your parents. The family is the first school a child will ever attend. The family is the first church a child will ever attend. It's the first courthouse a child will ever attend. It's the first hospital, first government the child will become aware of in any way. The family's where it all starts. So he says, obey your children in the Lord. He says that directly to the children. Here's the second thing he says in the next verse. He says, honor. That's essential. Look at verse 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, we grew up with that word honor. Some kids make the National Honor Society or the honor roll in school. If you're going before a judge, you say your honor. In Boy Scouts, used to be Scouts Honor. Things like this. We're living in a world where people do not honor things anymore. He's telling kids not only to obey their parents, but to honor their parents. People don't honor their word today. They don't honor their vows today. They don't honor their promises today. They don't honor much of anything today. And it becomes very cheap. Now, what Paul's quoting here in verse 2 and 3, he's quoting the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments deal with honoring God. The last five commandments deal with honoring other people. And this one here in the middle is talking about honoring your parents. Now, that goes for every one of us in here, not just when you're a child until the time you leave home. The rest of your life, you're supposed to honor your parents. Now, somebody said the fifth commandment is the one commandment that's directly towards children. Well, that's true, but we're all children, so it's directed toward all of us. Now, in this promise, with this commandment, he gives you two promises. One is going to affect the quality of your life, and it's going to affect the quantity of your life. The quality of your life. He says, it may be well with thee. Those who honor and obey their parents usually learn how to honor and respect and relate to other people. You know some people that live hard and fast, and they come to a quick end in their life because they never really honored anything. And that's part of it. He says, when you do that, it may be well with you. It's going to affect the quality of your life, but it also affects the quantity of your life. Now, this is a very controversial verse. When it says, if you honor your parents, is he saying you're going to live a long time? What about people that die early? Did that mean they didn't honor their parents? No. But he's giving you some biblical principles. I'm going to tell you what it means when it says you'll live long on the earth if you honor your parents. It can mean one of three things. If you honor your parents, God will bless you with a longer life. It'll be like a reward for doing that. He will give you a longer life. Or number two, it can mean if you don't honor them, if you have a rebellious spirit, if you have a rebellious lifestyle, your life will probably end quicker because you don't respect the law, you don't respect authority, you don't respect anything. More than likely, you will come to a quicker end and won't have a long life because you didn't learn what it means to honor people in authority over you. Or it could mean if you'll honor your parents, they won't have to kill you. Now, that sounds like a joke, but really, look at Exodus 21 and Deuteronomy. Let's look at this. He who strikes his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Ouch. Look at Deuteronomy. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who when they have chastened him, he will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. And you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Ouch. Ouch. Maybe that. But anyway, honor them. It'll affect the quality and the quantity of your life. Respect them. Let me show you the different ways you can respect them. Respect their role. Your parents are not your best buddy. They're not your best friend. They're your parents. And everybody wants to be buddies and friends, but that's not what a child needs. They need a parent. Some parents are not as cool as other parents. Some parents are a little more strict than other people's parents and all this. But they need to respect your role as a parent, and that's why they honor you. They need to value the advice that comes from their parents. That's how you honor them. Two things about parents. Almost always, they care about the child more than anybody else on this earth. And number two, when they give you advice or tell you something to do, they may not always be right, but they're always doing what they think is best for you. And so you need to value their advice. Make them proud. Look at Proverbs 29:15. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. You can bring a lot of things to your parents. You can bring them joy. You can bring them satisfaction. You can bring them pride. You know, if somebody comes up to me and says, your son's a hard worker, or your daughter's a good mother, or this or that about my children, it brings great pride to me because it makes me think, wow, did something right or whatever. I'm very proud of that. If you don't, you bring shame to your parents. You can bring shame to them according to the Word of God. You make them proud when you honor them that way. Meet their needs. 1 Timothy 5:4. Listen to this. If any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Now, your parents met your needs as you were growing up. Sometimes it's going to be your turn to help meet their needs. That doesn't mean necessarily always money, but it means helping out, doing something that makes it easier for them in their life. That's part of honoring your parents. Whenever you leave the house at 18 or 25 or 36 or whatever time you leave the house, that's not when you say, now I don't have to listen to them no more, I have nothing to do with them anymore. No, you honor them the rest of your life. And God's watching that and will hold you accountable for that. Forgive their failings. Some of you had parents that were not good. They were abusive. They were neglectful, absentee. You might have to be the one to reach out and try to heal that broken bridge and offer forgiveness and free them from the regrets they certainly have. Okay, so he's telling kids, honor, obey, and honor your parents. Okay, now we're going to get to the father's role in parenting. Now, here's what was unique about this. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Spirit-filled life, being filled with the Spirit. Then we talked about the Spirit-filled home. And we talked about women, wives, be submissive and respect your husband. Those are the two things God requires. Husbands, love your wives sacrificially. So he goes from the wife to the husband. Now he's gone to children, obey and honor your parents. You would think now he's going to say something to the parents, to the children. But no, he says dads. He doesn't say parents. Now I'm not saying that mothers don't have a role in this, because mothers are just as important. If it wasn't for mothers, a lot of children wouldn't have any upbringing. But he's talking to dads on this. Let's look at the modern view of child training for just a moment. My daughter brought this to my attention a few weeks ago, and I didn't even know what she was talking about. She said, you know there's a new style of parenting today, don't you, Dad? I said, no. She said, it's called gentle parenting. I said, what is that? She went to explain it, so I looked it up because I wanted to find out what it was. Here's what it means, basically. It's the latest trend in parenting. Patient, calm, punishment-free. Focus on empathy, respect, understanding, and boundaries. Great and compassionate, but not a firm hand. So I said, what does that mean? So I looked it up on their website, and it gave me some examples how to deal with tough situations with children. For example, here's one. This is how you gently parent them. You got a 4-year-old child that you've told to put on their coat because we're fixing to go to the grocery store and it's cold outside. You've told them 3 times they hadn't put on their coat. So here's how you do it. Pause, slow down, ask your child what's going on in a very neutral, calm voice. Say something like, hey, I noticed you're not putting on your coat for the grocery store. Can you tell me what you're thinking? Listen with patience and understanding. Then come up with a solution that works for all parties. Okay, well, y'all write that down. That works. Number 2, how to deal with temper tantrums. Gentle parenting. Temper tantrums. They said this, children can test our patience. Young children might bite or hit as they lose their temper. Older children will push the boundaries. If your child is having a temper tantrum, know that this is a form of communication. Don't try to stop them. Tantrums can seem unbearable in the moment, but letting them run its course is critical for a young child's development. As the adult, it's your job to keep their environment safe while letting them know that you're there if they need you. After the tantrum subsides, use the experience as a teachable moment to discuss what caused it and discuss possible solutions for the future. I'm not going to make a lot of comments on this, but I will say this. Obviously, I wasn't a gentle parent. But I think it's that type of simplicity, or maybe stupidity is what the word should be, that will also tell a little 4-year-old child that thinks they're a boy and they're really a girl and say, okay, we're going to get you operated on so you can be what you think you are, or a furry, or whatever you might. That's stupidity to me. That's not a new way of dealing with things and trying to be more understanding. Those people, parents like that, need to either be incarcerated or in a mental institution or something from ruining a child like that at an early age, letting the child make decisions and giving them operations and stuff. I can't comprehend it, but that's the kind of thinking we've got today. All right, he's going to talk about the position of fatherhood, first of all. Of course, we looked at last week, man's the head of the family, of the marriage and the family unit. And God holds him responsible for much that takes place. And he's going to hold him responsible for the training of children. Now, when we talk about training, we talk about discipline. Discipline is an act of love, according to the Bible, if it's done biblically. It's an act of love. The Bible says, who the Lord loves, He chastens. That's what means discipline. And if He doesn't chasten you, you're not His child. So discipline is not an ugly word. Really, what discipline is short-term pain or restrictions for long-term results, hopefully. You're doing something in the short term because you're looking at the long term. Look at Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects. But as a father, the son in whom, just as a father, the son in whom He delights. Okay, like I said earlier, children are a bundle of joy. There's no doubt about that. But a bundle of self-centeredness. And that's not their fault. That's the way we're all born in this world. They have a sinful nature. You have to help them restrain from going by their impulses, their emotions. You have to teach them to respect authority for their own good. It's all for their own good. If you love them, you're gonna help do that. Prisons are full of people that live by their impulses, that do not know how to say no to whatever they feel like at that moment. Do not have any respect for authority figures. Those are prison people. That's how they live their life. They never could control their impulses and restrain themselves in any way. A child will always push the boundaries in whatever boundaries you set them. They're always going to try to step over the line or push it and see if you're going to uphold your end of it and do what you say and all this. So that's normal. First thing before we get into it, don't neglect to spend time with your children. That's the way children interpret love, T-I-M-E. Look at Deuteronomy 6 and 7, 6, 7 and 8. You'll teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You'll bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Talking about the law and all around them. Give your kids lots of time. Now, a lot of times fathers are spend a lot of their time at work and doing different things, and mothers are spend most of the time with the kids, and fathers sometimes try to make up for their regrets by giving their kids lots of toys or things like this to make up for it. But they need the time more than anything else. If they don't get the time on a daily basis from you, they'll get it from social media or somebody else, and then it's going to be trouble. But notice what he said in verse 4. Look how he said this. He went straight to this. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. What does that mean, don't provoke your children to wrath? Don't make your kids mad? I mean, every time you tell your kids no, that makes them mad a little bit. Every time you say, you can't have that before supper. No, you can't watch that. You can't go here. No, you can't. That's not going to say, okay, good. No, they're going to be aggravated. It's not talking about that. He said, but if you don't train them properly, they're going to become exasperated, discouraged, maybe bitter. And we're going to talk about the things that produce that kind of wrath or bitterness in children. Okay, number one, first of all, when you discipline children or train them, don't discipline them in anger. Psalm 38:1 says this, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath. Don't come at me when you're mad, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Don't discipline your children when you're out of control and you're mad and you're fit to be tied and taking it out on the kids. Somebody said, you don't discipline a child for spilling milk on your carpet. You might discipline a child for taking milk out of the kitchen when they know they're not supposed to. So they're not being disciplined because they had an accident. They're disciplined because they disobeyed what the boundaries were. And they need to understand that, because otherwise they can feel like they do nothing right. And any kind of accident, they're being chastised, or the consequences are them in some way. Okay, here's another thing. Don't find fault with them constantly. One person I was reading about, they said, you ought to be praising your kids 5 or 10 times for every time you get on to them. 5 positive or 10 positive things for every 1 negative thing. I don't know if that's true or not, but you do need to be doing much more positive than negative at all possible. Somebody put it like this. Don't tell your little four-year-old child, you're not potty trained yet. You're almost 4 years old. Or something like this. Honey, you're sweet as can be, but you can't carry a tune in a bucket. Be careful. Here's something I can relate to. This is me. If you got a child playing baseball, he's just went 3 for 3. He's had a single and 2 doubles. He's stolen 2 bases. He's driven in 3 runs, and he's made 2 really good plays in the infield. He comes up to bat in 9th inning, man on 2nd and 3rd, 2 outs. They're 1 down. He gets a chance, and he strikes out looking. Now, as a father, I probably wouldn't mention the 3 hits, the 3 RBIs, the good plays in the field, or anything else. I'd concentrate, why in the world are you taking a 3rd strike, blah, 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 blah. It's very easy for men to point out the negative. Very easy. And overlook all the positive. But be careful that you're not finding fault all the time, or you'll produce a discouraged, angry child. Don't refuse to listen to your children. Now, I'm not talking about bargaining with your children and letting them call the shots, but listen to them. Look what Proverbs 18, 30. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. In other words, everybody wants to be heard in life, even kids. Don't let kids, the only time they hear something from you is 2 words, not now, not now, not now. They never get a chance because there's never any time or anything like this. I was reading a couple examples. One little girl, 4 or 5 years old, was crying in her bed, and the mother was going to get up and tend to her, and the father said, let her cry, she'll go to sleep, she'll go to sleep. And she cried for 10 or 15 minutes. And after about 15 minutes, she finally went to sleep. Husband told his wife, see there, I told you. Well, they went and checked on her, and her pillow was bloody because she had a bloody nose. But they weren't responding. Or like this, this man had rules at his house. We eat at a certain time. If you're not here, call us and let us know so we'll know. If you're not here, after we eat, we're going to put up the food, and you just got to make yourself a sandwich. Well, his 16-year-old boy didn't come at time. He knew what time they ate. Didn't show up about an hour late. Father jumped on him and said, where were you? You didn't call us to tell us anything. He said, my phone was dead. And the reason I wasn't here, I stopped to help Sister Andrews change her tire. You better listen to them sometimes. Sometimes they've got a good reason. Don't just say, no, I'm going by the rules. I don't care what your reasons are. No, you need to be able to listen to them. Don't refuse to set boundaries for them. Anybody that gives their children everything they want, it's going to produce a very selfish child. I can tell you that. That's part of the human nature. It doesn't do good to give them everything or make up for things. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say you're not going to do this or whatever. That's part of parenting. When our kids were growing up in the 90s, we watched the show called Family Matters. It was old Steve Urkel. I don't know if you ever watched. But that show had good moral message to it. Well, one of the girls, the daughters, she was like 11th or 12th grade. And she asked her mom and daddy, can I go to a party at so-and-so's house? And they said, yeah, but you need to be home by 11:30 or whatever. Anyway, 11:30 came and went. And she wasn't home. 12 o'clock came. She wasn't home. 12:30, the mama put on her robe and her slippers and went down there and went to the party, knew where she was, and got her out of the party and brought her home. And she was humiliated. She was so mad. She said, Mama, I'll never speak to you as long as I live. You embarrassed me in front of my friends. Nobody else's parents did something stupid like that. And I'll never forgive you for this. She was talking that over with her girlfriend, saying, boy, my mama sure embarrassed me. I'm not going to be talking to her for a long time for doing that in front of all the other kids. And she finally, her friend said, look, just shut up. She said, what? She says, I got home at 3 o'clock and nobody's waiting up on me. Nobody cared if I was in an alley or beaten up or what. You ought to be thankful that your parents put some boundaries on you. Be thankful they care enough about you to care where you are and what's going on. So don't refuse to set boundaries. That's okay. That's a sign of love. Don't demand more than a child can give. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, I believe in setting goals and standards. I believe in a standard of excellence. I don't believe in setting the bar so easy that the child can always accomplish it. There's nothing wrong with reaching for the stars every once in a while. I believe in that. That's why I'm not one that everybody should get a trophy when they play Little League. The reason I say that is because that's not teaching them anything about life. In life, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and you have to get over the losses. You have to learn, I'm not always going to win. Are you going to now learn from that and try harder and do better or whatever? That's life. So anyway, I'm not for that. But set high goals for them. Set the bar high. Don't set it so low. But I'll say this. Don't treat a 15-year-old kid like they're 5 years old. And don't treat a 5-year-old kid like they're 15 years old. You're making it very difficult for both ends, and you're setting them up for a difficult time and for anger. Don't set double standards. James 1:8, this is talking about a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. Here's what I wanted to talk about on that. Sometimes the father is maybe a disciplinarian and the mother's very lax or lenient or vice versa. Y'all need to get together and work that out ahead of time behind closed doors. But don't let the child play one against the other. And if they can't get it from daddy, I'll go hear mama let me do it. Boy, a child can pick up on that in a hurry. And they can learn that there's a double standard there. And sometimes it won't work out good. Don't compare children to each other. 2 Corinthians 10:12. We dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they commending themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It's very easy if you've got multiple children to compare the children to each other, and they're all different. They got different skills, different abilities, different IQs, different everything. You can't say, your brother made straight A's in class, and you're not near what he is. Or your sister was playing soccer first team when she was your age, and you can't even make the team. Don't compare your kids to each other. You're gonna produce some anger inside and some bitterness, or they'll give up and quit. Don't break your promises to your kids. That should be a no-brainer, but Colossians 3:9 says this, do not lie to one another since you've put off the old man with his deeds. Well, that means don't lie to your children. Children have a memory like an elephant. Now, children can forgive easily and they'll let it go and it doesn't bother them. But if it's done over and over, it'll produce bitterness in their heart. You won't ever keep your promises. You don't ever do what you say you're going to do, and it'll hurt them. Don't humiliate the child in public on purpose. In other words, don't discipline the child in public out of anger and disgust and try to put on a show in front of everybody else. Usually that's worse than the discipline itself, is the humiliation doing it like that. I'm going to wind this down and say two things. I'm going to give you two extreme illustrations and then we'll quit. May 1st, 2023. There was a Cessna 206 flying over Colombia, South America, in the Amazon. The plane crashed in the middle of the Amazon forest. The pilot, the co-pilot, the mother, and four children were on that plane. The pilot, the co-pilot, and the mother were all killed. This happened 2.5 years ago. So you've got four children in the middle of the Amazon jungle, probably hundreds of miles from anywhere. You got a 13-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 1-year-old. They sent a search party out to try to find them. Weeks, they could not find them. They finally found them on the 40th day. They were all alive. They were very skinny, been eat up with bugs and mosquito bites and everything, but they were still alive. It was amazing to everybody they could find these four children in this environment for 40 days. How could they survive? And the 13-year-old and the 9-year-old, they'd been trained at home. Some things like how to catch a fish or how to skin an animal or clean or something like that. They learned what things they could eat, what plants were good to eat and what was poisonous. They learned a lot of things like that. They learned some basic fundamentals of how to survive. And the second thing they learned they better take care of each other. And so the 13 and the 9-year-old was sure to look out for the 4-year-old and the 1-year-old. And they survived for 40 days in the Amazon jungle. Now here's the other extreme. Anybody here know who Jochebed is? That's the Moses' mama. You remember what's going on in Exodus chapter 2 or 3? Pharaoh's putting all the little Hebrew boys to death. They're growing too fast. He wanted the midwives to do it. The midwives were letting them go, and they got caught a little bit. But anyway, he was trying to get rid of the Hebrew boys. He's letting the little girls live. Jochebed had a little 3-month-old baby named Moses. She had kept him hid as long as she could hide him. And she realized the only way she's going to save him, she built a little ark, a little basket, pitched it in and out. I bet she was crying tears as she's building that thing. And put a little 3-month-old boy in that basket. And put him in the Nile River. Praying that God would take care of her boy. Of course, we know how it ended up. Pharaoh's daughter found it. His sister said, "You want somebody to nurse that little boy?" And she said, "Yeah." And she went and got his mother. And mother got to nurse him and raise him in Pharaoh's palace. And Pharaoh paid for it. But the bottom line was, she didn't know what else she could do for the betterment of her children. And she built that thing, put him in it, put him in the hands of God. So here's what I'm saying to you as parents, to all of us. Do not neglect to train and shape your children's lives. Earlier the better. Because I'll tell you, it's a jungle out there. Do everything you can by the principles of God. But after a while, you're going to have to put them in the hands of God. That's all you can do. And I'm going to say this. There's probably at least 4 different types of people in here today. Some of you got a great family. It's all love and kindness. There's no animosity. Everybody's serving Jesus. Everybody loves each other. Can't wait to be among each other. That's a great, great testimony. Some people here, your family's divided, maybe because of divorce, hurt. You may have kids that don't speak to each other, don't speak to parents, parents don't speak to kids or whatever, but it's divided. There's some here, you did everything to raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And now your children are not living for the Lord. They're a long way off. They don't come to church. They don't talk about the Lord. They don't think about the Lord. And you wonder, where did I go wrong? There's some here, as parents, you live with sorrow, regrets, and you'd give anything if you could do it over again. We're all in this together. No perfect people, no perfect families usually. But the families is God's unit. As the church goes, as the family goes, so goes the church. As the church goes, so goes society. I want you to stand with me. I don't know how your family is, if it's one of these that everything's great and everybody's loving and everybody's serving Jesus. Or you've got a divided family. You got siblings that don't speak, parents that don't talk, vice versa. Or you've got children that you raised in the church, you raised in the things of God, on the Word of God, and now they've taken it and they're a long way from God. Or whatever. I want us to just make our way down here as the family of God. Have a closing prayer. Some of you come from broken homes. Some of you have a broken home. Some of you would give anything in the world to be able to tell your parents, I'm sorry, and they're gone. There's so many different scenarios represented even in a church like this. One thing about it, if I could have one request, one last prayer request for the Lord, it'd be I want my family all together in heaven. And I want all my family together now if I can get them. Let's call out to Him right now. We've all got plenty of guilt. We've all got plenty of shame. We've all got plenty of things we're proud of. We've all got things that we'd love to do over. Let's ask God to help us, our families, help us to do what we can do from this day forward. Sometimes you can't go back and unscramble an egg, but maybe you can do something from this day forward, and God will honor it. Would you join me, Heavenly Father? Here we are. Broken homes, broken promises, broken relationships sometimes. Sometimes we did things right and it looks like we're so proud of our children. Sometimes we're ashamed and where did we go wrong? Regardless, Lord, we lift them up. We put them in Your hands like Jochebed did. We put them in the hands of God. We believe Your Word. We stand upon Your Word. And we're just trusting You to honor Your Word. You've done it time and time again. Rebuild our families. Rebuild our homes. Rebuild relationships that are severed or distant or calloused. Strengthen us, Lord. Husbands, wives, children, parents. It's a tough job. Most of the time we fail as much as we succeed. But we're counting on You to make up the difference, Lord, as a God of mercy, grace, and forgiveness. Honor every home and every heart here today, Lord. We leave here committed more and more to You. God, save our families. Save our homes. Save our children. Save our parents. May we as older adults continue to honor our parents as they still live and do what we can to glorify You by obeying Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for guiding and directing and giving us direction in this area of our life. May we leave here, Lord, encouraged and renewed with the grace of God and the help of God and the power of God. We're believing the promises of God will come to fruition one day. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. Come back tonight. We're having a family festival. We'll sing God's praises.